And I hope we never get over the fact that we're saved by God's amazing grace. We weren't around when that song was written, but how many times have we sang it and we sang it? And sometimes we get used to singing Amazing Grace, that grace is no longer amazing to us. Whenever the choir introduced that song just maybe a couple years back, I'm still amazed. I've never got over the fact that I'm saved, and I hope I never do. You know, I was but a mere 13-year-old boy. Where's my 13-year-olds in here and younger? Look at the hands going up. I was your age. Gary Badgett, folks. I was 13 years old, and I'm going to be honest with you, I did not go to church to get saved that night. For you 13-year-olds, I did not go to church that night to be saved. I went because Mama took me. And when Mama took me to church that night, the Lord knew who would be there. He knew who was going to be. It was a revival. It was the third Thursday in April of 1981. He knew who was going to be preaching. The Lord knew what the message would be. He knew what the audience would be. And He knew what it was going to take to draw me. And that's quite like we're met here today. The Lord knows what our need is. He knows what your need is. He knows if you're here in need of salvation, if you're just in need of comfort, if you're one of those that's walking wayward to His Word. I promise you, He has a gentle rod of correction for you. If you're saved by God's grace, He will chasten you and bring you back. And if you say, well, it's not me, I've never been chastened, I've never had a whooping from the Lord, then you better check up. Because the Bible says if you're not chastened, then you're not His. That's just pure simple. So today we're going to be in the book of Matthew. We were there Wednesday night. If you were here Wednesday night, we preached out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. All night long, we preached right out of 8. We brought the scriptures out of verse number 27. What manner of man is this that even the winds of the sea obey him? And then we just kind of painted a picture of who Jesus is and some of the things that He's able to do. He's able to cast out demons. He's able to calm the deep in your life. He's able to do all manners of great things for you. And if you've ever been saved by God's grace, then you, my friend, have experienced some of these things we preached about Wednesday night. And whenever I preached about that, we come right out of what we commonly refer to as the Sermon on the Mount or the Olivet Discourse. And that's where we're going to be today, right back in the heart or in the middle of where the Lord was teaching. This teaching first began in chapter number 5, and it continues all the way to chapter number 8 where we preached on Wednesday night. But right in the middle of that, we'll be in the 6th chapter today, and I'll have you stand here in just a minute. But before we get into that, I want to ask you a couple questions, and you don't have to raise your hand. Please don't. But if you've got a tabulator on the end of your arm, use them. They're called fingers. Keep your own tabulator. Keep your own count today. Whenever I asked you a few just very pointed questions this morning. Since last Sunday morning, have you read your Bible? If you have, you don't have to stick your arm up. Just do a little digit. Say, okay, there's one. Have you prayed? Have you told somebody else about Jesus? Have you told somebody that you love them? Has somebody told you that they love you? You see where I'm going with this, and you can keep going. We can keep going. I had 5 out of 5. I'm not being boastful or bragging. And you say, yeah, you wrote the question. You wrote the test. It's easy to pass a test if you wrote the test. But if you've only got 1 or 2 on there right now, I'm wondering where your heart's at. Now, if I said, how many of you went to work? How many of you went kayaking? How many of you went fishing? How many of you went to a NASCAR race? Or how many of you went to a sports event? How many of you watched TV? How many of you read a book? All of those things, you know, you're clicking them off pretty quick because we do the things that we want to do. We have to go to work. We have to do this. We need to do that. We do this. How many of you ate? You know, that's a given. Now everybody's got at least one on there. But have you told anybody you love them this week? Has anybody told you that they love you this week? Have you prayed? Have you read His Word? If you can't answer that question rightfully, no, I've not read His Word. I've been busy, Pastor. If you've been too busy to pray, If you've been too busy to read His Word, I'm not talking about 14 chapters out of the Old Testament, 6 out of the New. I'm talking about just reading it to find something for some strength today. This is our meat. This is our hope. This is our help. I'm talking about reading it just because I need something today. If you've not read, if you've not done what I'm talking about, and because you're just too busy, Joe, you're too busy. If you've not done some of the things I mentioned, you're too busy. So I'm going to take our scripture today. Well, I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. The book of Matthew, chapter number 6, there's only 3 short verses that I will read. I will not take this out of context. The Lord is describing the problems of... He goes right through this, and in this passage of Scripture, pointedly, He comes right out of prayer. He talks about almsgiving. He talks about love. He comes right out of that into fasting and prayer. Then He goes right into, basically, into wealth. And the message title today, if I were to give you a title, it would be The Measure of Your Treasure. And I will give you the definition. What is a measure? A measure is something used to take inventory as to the capacity of something. It's a measure. You might have a barley, a homer of barley. You might have a bushel of apples. That bushel is your measurement of how many apples you have. So once again, it's to take inventory of the capacity of something. And if I said the title of the message was to measure your treasure, then suffice it to say we ought to know what treasure is. What is a treasure? And I could go through here right now and 200 plus people would probably give me 200 plus answers. But as defined, a treasure is something that we hold as having value or great worth. Pirates look for the buried treasures. Many people look for different treasures in life. I'm going to be honest with you. Whenever I was 13 years old and I got saved, I met somebody at 13 years old. And you know what, Brother Tam? I met a treasure. It's that little lady that I married. Brother Gwen, I met a treasure because I find great worth. I find great value in a wife. The Bible said if you found a wife, you know what you have found? What's the Bible say you have found? He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. I'm glad somebody's read their scripture. He that finds a wife has found a good thing. If you do not hold your spouse in high esteem, you've not heard I love you or have not said I love you back in return. I wonder how much worth that you have placed upon the individual in your life. If you can go through week after week or day after day and never look at your children and say, son, I love you, or hear from a daddy, hear back to a daddy, daddy, I love you. I wonder what kind of a relationship you've got with your children. If you can go through this congregation of mixed adults in here, and some of you, Miss Ann, honey, welcome back. And you know, you've been gone for a day or two. Did you know that I missed you? You told me you were gone, but you know what? I love you. If you can go through a congregation of mixed believers like this and never hear from one of the other side of the aisle that I love you, Brother Tam, I love you, Miss Jan, I love you, Brother Gwen. If you can go through week after week after week after week and never hear those words and never get a firm embrace, never get a welcoming handshake, Brother Greg, I'll be honest with you, son, I missed you Wednesday night. You know what that just did to Greg? It lets me know that he's important to me, that he has value unto God, and that I know as a pastor that he wasn't here Wednesday night. That thing's multi-purposed. And I'm not pointing out Greg, because there's probably 100 others just like Greg that was not here on Wednesday night. But the measure of your treasure, John, is namely this. It's the capacity of what you hold as being valuable in your own life. We're in Matthew chapter number 6, and we're going to read our scriptures. Only 3 short verses found, beginning at verse number 19. And then we're going to go right through this scripture. I try my best to be right in these 3 the whole time. That you might, those the note takers, you just stay right in here. I'm not going to be flipping through the whole Bible. But I do want you to take an inventory. I do want you to look inside of your life. I do want you to find out what is valuable to you, what is worth to you, what holds a great portion of your time, what holds a great portion of your heart. Then that's the stuff that's important to you. Is church important to you? Is that Word of God important to you? Is prayer important to you? Is the songs that we just sang, are they important to you? Is it important to have a great choir? Brother Scott, you wouldn't be much of a choir leader if you didn't have a choir. Wouldn't be much of a pastor if I didn't have a few sheep, would I? Y'all are precious. Y'all, I'm telling you what, my unit of measure is beyond measure. It's beyond comprehension. We were driving out of our driveway yesterday. Cindy and I took a couple days days off for our anniversary. And I don't know, some of you folks that had trouble with your empty nest, I'd fluff that nest again. I'm honest with you because I love it. I honestly, we enjoy each other so much. Karen, we enjoy being together. I'd hate to spend my life with somebody that I didn't enjoy being around. Honestly, for those of you who have such a hard time being empty nesters, fluff your nest, do something. But we were driving out of our driveway. We're getting ready to go over to Don's, and I'd been thinking about some shrimp for a while, and asked Miss Cindy, I said, you want to go to Yadkin Valley Seafood? You'll go here, go there. But nevertheless, we were going out to eat, and as we were driving out the driveway, I just about cried, Brother Tam. I said, God has been so good to us. And she said these words, and she didn't know that they were going to factor into a message the next morning, but she said, I said, we are so blessed. And she said, beyond measure. That's what I said, Brother Tim, driving down our drive. I said, honey, we are so blessed. And she said, beyond measure. Couldn't have been more true what you said. We are blessed beyond measure. How can you put the measure? How can you put a unit value on something as big as Calvary, Brother Jody? And you get to serve as a deacon here. How much better could it get for us to have the Word of God, the King James Bible, and Brother Gwen, to have the old King James Bible, still sing songs out of the Redback Hymnal, and still have a crowd of this size, my friend? That's important to us. And, Buscott, it ought to be beyond measure. The Bible says here we are in Matthew 6, verses number 19, 20, and 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. And I want you to hear verse number 21 expressly. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Brother Kippy, ask God to bless us, my friend. As you're being seated, I've told you I'm going to try to stay right with you in the book of Matthew chapter number 6, but I do want one verse out of the Old Testament to confirm that when God put love in this book, He meant love to go from the front to the back. It's been asked, where is the scarlet thread? And anybody that reads the Word of God would generally know that when something's referred to as the scarlet thread, they'll go right over to the book of the Old Testament that talks about Rahab, the harlot, and about the sending out of the spies, and how that the harlot Rahab let out a scarlet thread out of her window. And then whenever they would see the thread, Brother Scott, that they would know that that they were safe, or that certain things were taking place concerning that scarlet thread. But I'm going to be honest with you, the true scarlet thread is that blood lineage of Jesus Christ that runs from the front to the back of this. That is the crimson flow of Jesus Christ, and I believe that to be the scarlet thread. But in the book of Proverbs, like I said, just make a note of it. Listen, because I'm going right back to Matthew. It says in the book of Proverbs chapter number 4 in verse number 23, this is very important, because if you don't get this verse, the other three that I just read may not really make a lot of sense to you, Miss Jan. But here's what it says in the book of Proverbs, this being one of the writings of Solomon. Who was Solomon and what was he known for, Brother Greg? He was a son of David. He was a son of a king, but he was known as being one of the wisest men that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And I want you to listen to Solomon. Solomon's wisdom, as God Almighty moved on him to pen this down, in chapter number 4, he said this, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, that's not too hard, is it, Brother Varun? You know what that means? Keep thy heart with all diligence. What is diligence? I'm talking about uprightness of heart and mind and thought and deed. It said to keep it. That means to guard it, to take note of where you're at in that, Brother John. And don't let anything come in and deceive it. He said to guard thine heart or take note. Listen, keep thine heart with all diligence. Why? Why would we guard our heart? Why would we keep our heart? Why am I even preaching a message on a Sunday morning about the thing such as a treasure or such as the issues of the heart? It's namely this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that's what I'm preaching on this morning. I want you to lay up treasures in heaven. Now listen, I am not preaching against going to Bristol, Brother Steve. I know you like that. And I'm not preaching against going to Bristol. I'm not preaching against having some type of a social media account. I'm not talking about not getting your kids or getting your kids into Little League or Triple or any other kind of traveling ball or any kind of ball. I'm not against watching Duke and Carolina. I'm not against watching the Panthers or the Dallas Cowboys. Brother John, I'm not preaching about any of that, but bless God, everything has its purpose. Everything has its place, and I want you to understand something today. God has burdened my heart today about these very issues. I wonder how many of you had more than one hand if I started asking those questions about, have you prayed? Have you read the Word of God? Did you attend church this week? Did you attend church last week? I'm starting to wonder in my heart, how many of those things, would they add up or would they not add up? Well, you just have to hang your head in shame and say, not me. So as we start preaching this morning, I want you to think again about the measure of your treasure, or take inventory of that which we hold as valuable. I want us to examine our own individual lives. You say, well, what good is that? I've taken an inventory of my life, but you know what I have to do also, Brother Tam? I haven't taken inventory of this church. You say, you don't take an inventory of the church. Brother Gwen, did you not guard Little Elkin for the years you were down there? I believe you did, my friend. You took inventory of the church house. Is she healthy? Is there something coming against the house of prayer? Is there something coming against the people of the house of prayer? Is something going on in my life? Is something going on in my congregation? Do my deacons have a struggle right now? Are my congregation members, are they fighting a battle right now? Brother Tim, that stuff matters. So whenever I say to take an inventory of your own life, I want you to do that, Brother John Shumay. I want you to understand that God's interested in John Shumay. If you consider the lilies of the field and you consider the sparrows of the air, don't you think God cares about Derek? I believe he does. So I want you to take an inventory of your own life. I want you as a daddy to take inventory, not of your own life, but I want you to take an inventory of that of your family. I want you to take an inventory of that of your marriage. If you're a wife, I want you to take an inventory of that of your home. The Bible said that the wife's to be a chaste keeper of the home. Is that not the scripture out of the book of Proverbs? Chapter number 31, I believe that it is. I take inventory of your home life. Take inventory of the things that really matter. Because I'm going to be honest with God, with you. If it matters to God, it ought to matter to you. And children are an heritage of the Lord, and they're important to God. They ought to be important to you. Your grandchildren, if they're important to God, they ought to be important to you. And if they're important to you, I promise you this, they are important unto God. So I just want you to take an inventory today. Determine your own life. What is that I hold valuable? What is that I've got so enthralled in? What's the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning? Boy, that's a good indicator of where your heart's at. What's the very first thing when you get up in the morning, Brother David? I'm talking about, you say, well, I'm thinking about, I got to go pee. I'm not talking about physiological things, about how my bladder's got to move. I'm talking about, brother, what's the first thing that you start to think on as far as a thought process when you get out of bed in the morning? Probably what's on your heart. You say, no, that's just what was on my mind. They're closely related. Because the Bible said from the issues of the heart are the issues of life. That's why he tells us to guard it. So I want you to look, and I'm going to take inventory very quickly in our lives. Where do I spend my time? Now listen to me. There's nothing wrong, Brother Robbie, you being a trout bum. There's nothing wrong with you going to trout fishing. You love to trout fish. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Go. And I hope you catch one as long as my arm. But bless God, it does not take the place of your Bible reading. It does not take the place of going to the house of God. You say, well, why'd you point him out? Hey, I just know he's a trout bum. And I just know he loves that stuff. You say, well, I'll just point somebody else out. I can point out every single one of us because we all have hobbies. We all have things that we like to do. But I'm just asking you this. Where do you spend your time at? And while you're there, where's your mind at? And where's your heart at? Brother Robbie, I've heard you say, I can talk to God out there in a trout stream. You sure can. And Brother Nanny can talk to him on a golf course. But that does not supplant Danny's time inside the house of God. You ain't thinking about God whenever you got a stick and you got a little white ball and you're trying to hit that thing about 300 yards. You're trying to figure out which way the winds are blowing and which way this and that. Where's my brush? And where's my fairway? Where's my rough? Where's the flag? Where's the hole? And that's all you're worried about. You ain't worried about the lost people around you. You're not worried about the lost in your family. So I'm not preaching about that. I'm just saying this. Take inventory of your own life and find out where your time's spent. Find out who you're hanging around with. You say, well, I'm hanging around with a bunch of rough people. Then you need to change friends. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't got nothing against your friends. Brother Gwen, I don't even know your friend, Ben. But if you've got somebody in your life that's bringing you down, that's pulling you away from God, taking you away from the things that really matter to God, Brother Tim, you got the wrong crowd. Just being honest with you. Got these little girls today. They got some boy in her ear saying, "You, if you love me, you will." And she got the same thing in the other way. And you better mind yourself real quick and take an inventory of your heart and tell that little boy, "You don't own me. I best could I belong to God Almighty." And he says, "Well, if that's the way it's going to be, then so be it. I don't want to go out with you anymore." You show that boy the door and show him the end of your daddy's shotgun and say, "You better not come back around over here anymore." You said you're running rabbits now. These are the issues of the heart. Where's your time spent? Where's your money spent? Had many people come to me and say, "Preacher, I don't know about that tithing." I'm not preaching a message on tithing today. I do. I preached it one time since I've been here, the truth about the tithe. It belongs to God. I don't care who you are. You say, "Well, I believe I'll just tithe the net." Okay, then you just, in a 28% tax bracket, you said, "I'm going to give Caesar," which Caesar's. Yeah, guess what? Caesar will get it. Caesar can't get it. He'll garnish it. Am I right or wrong? You folks around here know what I'm talking about. Well, Caesar's guaranteed 28%. He guaranteed that, Brother Paul. He's going to take his. Where does Caesar get his? Does Caesar say, "I'll just take mine off the net"? No, Caesar's getting his off the top. If you ain't figured that out yet, you get that off the first fruit. And bless God, that's where God ought to get his from. It ought to come off the gross. It ought to come off the top. And bless God, before old Uncle Sam gets his share, it ought to come right off the top that you give God his tenth right off the top. That's your time. And above that, you've got an offering to give. And I'm not getting into all that, but what I'm saying is this. Where's your time spent? Where's your money spent? Who are you spending it with? All these things show me the measure of the treasure in my heart. They do. How about if I never wanted to be around her? I just never wanted to be around her. I love her, but I don't want to be with her because I don't like her. I'd rather be with Tim. I'd rather be with Greg all the time. You've got a problem. Tim, if you do not want to spend time with Miss Jan, not only is that a problem right off the bat, but how does that make Miss Jan feel? Honey, how would you feel? You know how you would feel, and I know how she would feel. And I know how I would feel. And I'll tell you this, I know how God feels. Whenever you say, "I don't want to go to the house of God," how does that make God feel when you don't want to be around him? You don't want to hear from him. You don't want to sing songs unto him. You don't want to pray unto him. You don't want to speak to him. And furthermore, you don't want to hear from him. Brother John, if you are that way with your family, you're that way with your children, you're that way in your marriage or your life, how in the world are we with God whenever you don't want to spend some time with him? Robin, what kind of relationship you got with Miss Robin? You never talk to her, don't spend any time with her, you don't like her, you don't want to be around her, and vice versa. What are you doing? Just cohabitating? No, God give us these things for a reason. your wife, your family, your church, this word, your God, your pastor, your deacons, your church members all ought to be right up there at the pinnacle of your heart and say, Lord, I love my children. I love my grandbaby. Lord, I love the church house. I love your word. And that ought to be the stuff that's the measure of your heart. I wonder sometimes if it is. So if we're examining our treasure and we look at all these things, who are you with? Who are you doing it with? Is what you're doing with them, is that profitable unto God? Brother Chris, is iron not sharpened iron? If iron sharpeneth iron, so as the countenance of a friend, you better pick a friend that's going to sharpen you, bring you up and lift you up. Because if it's not, it's dumbing you down. So here we go. You said you're already halfway done, pretty much. So I want to look at the treasure that's earthly. Go back into 19. Lay not up for your treasures, for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why should we not lay treasures up down here that's earthly? They're temporary. They're not going to last. Here's what the scriptures say. They will tarnish. Here's what it says. It said, if you lay up yourselves treasures down here, that moth will come in and tear them up. Anybody ever hung up a nice wool blazer in your closet only to come out and get that thing out just a few short weeks or months later, and there's a big hole in that thing? What happened? Brother Gwim, the moths liked it as good as you did. And when the moths liked it, you know what? They ate a hole in it. And whenever you got it out, now you can't wear it because it's got a great big hole in it. Let me tell you, there's some things that we've got in our lives that moths are going to get into and that the rust is going to corrupt. Those are the temporary. Those are the earthly things that we've got. And they will quickly tarnish because they're temporary. They will fade and they will rust. And if you're not very careful, the things that we thought that were so precious to us can be taken away from us. Because you said, can they be taken? According to 19, it said not only can they be tarnished because the rust and the moth can come in, but it said that thieves can come in. And I'm telling you what, in John 10:10, the Bible said, but the thief comes not but to do what? But to kill, to steal, and destroy. He wants to steal that you have taken now as precious in your heart. If the measure of your treasure is the capacity of that which you hold valuable, what's the devil going to do? He gonna come after that which is precious in Megan's heart. He gonna come after that you hold in high esteem. You said, okay, well, I was doing pretty good, Pastor. I was clicking them off. I love the church. I was there Wednesday night. I read my Bible. I held the thing. You say, well, what's that mean? I'm telling you, the Satan's gonna try to come in. But you know what, Brother Tim? Those are not earthly. Those are heavenly. And guess what? The Bible said if you lay yourselves up treasures over there, the thief can't come in and get that's heavenly. He can't take away your desire to serve God. You say, well, he can take my joy. Yes, he can sure take your joy. We see that in the 51st division of Psalm when David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. He can take away your joy in serving God, but he cannot get your salvation, brother. I'm telling you, lay yourself up things that matter over yonder, because the things that are temporal, they're going to tarnish. They're going to rust. They're going to corrode. Why? Because they're just that. They're temporary. So take an inventory of that you've got in your life. The earthly things, our hobbies and treasures that we hold as treasures, and our time, our health. Man, some of us got so much invested in our health. We go to the doctor all the time and we get this test and that test and we religiously work out and we eat the right foods. We lay off of this food. You got some back there that's gluten free. You got some over here that's lactose intolerant. You got some back here that's on the high protein, low keto carbo diet. Brother, you got everything going on. Why? Because we all want to live just as long as we can live. But brother, that's all going to fail you. That is earthly. That's earthly. That old proverbial fountain of youth, Brother Ryan, has dried up. The only way you're going to live forever is not through a process of cryogenics. It's blessed God when you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, brother, you can live eternally with him. But blessed God, you can have abundant living while you're down here. You don't have to wait to get over there to have it. You can live abundantly down here. So lay not treasures in earthly things. I don't know any here except for maybe one or two that was affected by the latest round of the Lowe's announcement. Lowe's has been a big corporate presence in Wilkes County for years. But it seems like just every now and again, they do a little restructure. They shuffle the deck. if your job has been one of those things, you know what? That's earthly. It's earthly. I don't care who you are. That's earthly. You say, well, can that be taken away from me? I'm afraid it can. It can be gone in just a moment of time. We've seen people 25 years told to go home. We no longer need you. As a matter of fact, our stepmom, 31 years at the same hospital, has a bachelor's degree in nursing, went in one day, said, go home. We no longer need you. But I can retire in 11 months, go home. We no longer need you. Well, let me go to my cubicle. Nope, we'll mail it to you. We don't need you anymore. I need to go. Nope, that's intellectual property. You can't take that. You can't go down there. You just leave. We'll box up your coffee cup. We'll get everything out of your desk. We'll ship it to you. Now tell me, was that job really, really a treasure? I wonder. I don't think it was that big of a treasure after all, was it? Why? Because thieves can break in and steal it. It can be taken away from you. It's just temporal. So as we are today, all these things that we hold in high esteem. He didn't say we couldn't go places. He didn't say we couldn't do things as such as I'm talking about, Robbie. Go out on the next trout stream and catch the next big one. I'm just saying when it comes time to do the things of God, go do the things of God. Spend some time in His Word. So we move from our treasure of earthly to our treasure of the eternal now. Preacher, what can we lay up over there? Well, since he's talking right in here about all the things that matter, what is more important than taking somebody with you? Could there be anything greater in your walk of life, Brother Tam, than knowing your grandbabies were saved? Taking somebody with you. Brother, is there anything, we've already determined this when you sat on the other side, you've never saved anybody, is that right? What kind of a pastor are you that you've never even saved one person all these years? But you say, well, preacher, Brother Gwen pastored for 45, 50 years in this county, he ain't never got nobody saved. I didn't say he didn't get them saved. I said he never saved them. So how are we going to lay up some treasures over yonder, Brother Tim? Take somebody with you. Did Peter and John go up to the temple? Did they or did they not? Did they not meet a lame man along the way? Did that lame man not stick out a hand wanting a coin? Did that lame man not get a refusal of a coin because they didn't have anything to give? Did they not also say, we don't have anything to give you? And Miss Vicky, whenever they said, we have no coins to give you, what else did they say? But such as I have, give I thee. Then what's that all about? I'm talking about you possess something. If you're a saved person, you've got something far greater than a coin would ever help somebody. Coinage is just that. It's temporal. It's earthly. But bless God, if you can give them Jesus Christ, silver and gold, have I none? But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he immediately got strength in his ankle and got up. Where'd he go? He'd go out to the world and run around. Woohoo! No, the Bible said Brother Tammy went with them to the temple. I'm talking about taking somebody with you. Tell somebody about Jesus. What greater joy to know that your little family unit is all going to be together. What greater joy to know that somebody is going to go to heaven because of you and you telling them about Jesus Christ. That's a blessing in and of itself. Share the gospel with somebody else. Pray once in a while. Fast over things that matter. Take time out. Read God's word. Tithe your income that the missions of the Lord's house and the work might go on. Bless God, attend his house. It's not too much to ask. You say that's just because you're a pastor and you want people to come. No, it's because I believe the word of God and Hebrews 10:25 tells you to. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. You said, I wish they'd never put that in there. It's in there and it's forever settled in heaven. So I don't care if you like it or not. It's in the book. So you ought to attend his house. You ought to sing in his choir. That choir sounded awful today. We need a new choir leader. That thing sounded awful today. Did you go up and help? Oh, you didn't. Where did you fit into that? I'm the critic. Oh, okay. Show me that. I'll show you the critics in the Bible, brother, they weren't on God's side. They were against God. That's your Sanballat and Tobias that we read about this morning in Geshem. Those are the ones that have problem with what's going on in the work of God. Always going to have those. There are some things that are eternal. And those are the things that Satan can't take away from you. Like I said, Brother Greg, they can never get your salvation. Satan, the demons of hell, the devils of hell can't get your salvation. So what do? They work on Greg's psyche. They work on Greg's mental status. They try to steal Greg's joy. They try to take away your inner peace. They try to give you disturbances in your walk of life. They try to come in and disturb things that, to be honest with you, Kippy, they have no business disturbing, but there they are. As soon as you think everything's going good, your refrigerator tears up. As soon as everything's going good, there goes the tire, there goes the car, there goes this, there goes that. Listen to me. We're in this life, we're going to have problems. But they shouldn't take you away from God. So you had a flat tire. Chalk it up as a good fortune. You say, how in the world can you have a good fortune? You didn't get killed, did you? My son-in-law was coming down there the day I had my surgery 5 weeks ago. My son-in-law left Hickory coming to see me. Not this son-in-law. He was already down there. He took the day off, and they were down there the whole time. But Preston was coming to see me, Brother Tam. And he's coming up I-40, and he's passing a tractor and trailer, an 18-wheeler. Brother Gary, I don't know how much weight must be pushing on those 18 tires. But when Preston got beside that thing, he blew one of them out. You ever seen them road alligators? That big old black crocodile thing laying across the road. You hit one of them sometimes, it'll tear your car up. But that thing hit my son-in-law's car and knocked the front bumper and fender off. He wasn't hurt. He wasn't hurt. You said, well, he got to get that car fixed again. Bless God, he wasn't hurt. So I had a flat tire going to work. Brother Gwynn, there might have been a head-on down the road that God kept you out of. Praise God for that. The Bible said in the book of Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. And if it means all things, I believe that it means all things work together for good. And I believe that. The flat tire, it kept you out of something on down the line. Why? Because your whole day, everything about that day was different because you had to sit on the side of the road for 20 minutes and change a tire. Everybody you met at an interchange, everybody you met at the restaurant, everybody you met in the food line, everybody you took a phone call from. John, everything changed because of that one event. Lay some stuff up over there. Satan's going to do his part to try to confuse, to destroy, to kill, to steal. I'm going down. I'm going to close this thing out here, the 21st verse here in just a second. The measure of your life examined, the measure of your treasure examined, the measure of your treasure in earthly, the measure of your treasure in eternal. And now I want to do your measure of your treasure explained. And it's in that 21st verse. Just listen to me. We're going to go home here in just a minute. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What's that universal symbol that starts real young in kindergarten and probably follows you through high school? X's and O's? Maybe. I could write X's and O's. Half of you in here that's above the age of 50 may not even know what I'm talking about. But if I did this, that's a big old heart. The Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. I didn't make that up. I believe there's a reason that the Lord told us, there's a definite reason that we ought to, with all diligence, keep that heart, to guard that heart. Why? Why would we guard it that hard, Ryan? I promise you, when Stephanie and Carrie were 14 to 18 years old, you had a lot of young boys that had nefarious means and measures and ideas concerning your daughters. I promise you they did. Pretty as your girls are, guess what? I've got two daughters. We had to guard our hearts. We had to teach them to guard their hearts. We had to keep an eye on what was going on around the household. Why? Because they're precious to me. I told you, open it up, to hold what's treasure, to take inventory of what's precious to you. Tell you, my family's precious to me. My church is precious to me. You say, well, how'd you do that with your daughters? The best I could, and with the grace of God, we made it through it. And I thank God for what we've got. You say, well, what else has come? They come against my marriage. They come against our church. They come against every single one of us on every single given day. Brother Scott, come down. Miss Macy, come up. So I close with this. As you measure the treasure, the importance lies with this, Miss Ann. That's where your heart's at. That's where your heart's at. That's what's important to you. Boy, my heart just ain't in this. Remember the episode of Andy and Barney? They was eating Aunt B's kerosene cucumbers. Andy said, Barney said, my heart just ain't in this. What was the next line? No, y'all don't quote that. What? It's not your heart we need, it's your stomach. Well, your heart is in this. This is what we're preaching about. I'm not preaching about your stomach. I know it's growling. You're ready to go. You're ready to beat the Methodist to the restaurant. I know that's what you're thinking about. You know why, Miss Sam? I used to be one sitting in a pew. I knew what was happening about time to preach. You know the best popular three words of a pastor's sermon? And in closing, it always gets everybody's attention. And y'all all look like Kermit the Frog whenever somebody says, preach on, preacher! I'll get with him after the service. Preach on! Just take your time, preacher. No. Shut up. Get down. What have you got? 375. Number 375. Have that on way, Lord.